Good morning, everyone, and thanks for tuning in today to this podcast. I'm going to be talking about living in divine health. Living in divine health. Health as a way of life for every Christian. God does not want us to be sick, and God has made a way and prepared the way for us to walk in healing. And in order to do that, I have a two-teaching original series on the origins. It's very important for us to firstly look at the origins of sickness, where it comes from, how it originated, where it came onto the earth, and how, what activities did the devil bring to the earth, and how he had access to do that. I embarked on this type of study in 1981 after a suicide attempt on my life. Yeah, can you believe it? The enemy tried to rob me of this truth and try to wipe this truth out of my life. And ever since then, I've been talking about divine health and the blessing of living under the covenant of God's healing power. So this is very real to me. It works. It's the Bible. And we need to study it out. We need to understand it. And we need to gain revelation of it. And my purpose today is to bring to you in this two teaching series, firstly, the origins of sickness and disease, and then secondly, the origins of the healing covenant. So after I had that incident in 1981, I've made it my business to know what it was to live in divine health. And also I needed to know, who was it that had an attempt on my life? Was it God, or was it the devil, or was it just a dumb lifestyle that I was living? Well, it certainly wasn't God, I've come to understand over the years, because he is a covenant God of health, healing, and wholeness. He's the God that wills that we should walk in the blessing, in the prosperity, and divine healing. So once I had put God out of the equation, I realized it was the enemy trying to destroy my life in the way in which I lived. So after making Jesus Christ my Lord in 1981 and my Savior, I realized that it was the way and the lifestyle of the way I'd lived. And secondly, it had everything to do with the devil. And so I embarked upon the understanding of the origins of sickness and disease. And that's where I want to start this morning. So let's just turn, if you will, with me in our Bibles to Genesis chapter number 3. It's very important that origins be looked at so that people begin to understand how this all happened. You know, sometimes we go to a service and we listen to 25 minutes of divine healing and maybe we don't grasp everything. Sometimes we even go to a healing study group training, and not often do we hear about these origins. We kind of like lock into some New Testament teachings and some really good teachings. But I want to also ask you, in the light of what's going on in the earth right now with this pandemic, isn't it time that we started talking about divine health again? Isn't it time that we began to realize how desperately the church needs to pick up the mantle of healing? So let's expose the lie of the enemy first and then move on to the second teaching, which is God's origins of divine healing. So in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 22, this was in the Garden of Eden. This was after Adam and Eve had sinned and they had allowed the enemy to come in and rob from them. Now God pronounces the way forward. He pronounces his judgment upon the situation. And the Lord said to the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now, this is verse 22 of Genesis chapter 3. And now he might reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. He drove the man out. And at the east of the garden in Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword, which turned in every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. And so in the course that I teach on what happened here, I like to use some serious words like disobedience. This was a result of man's disobedience. So as a result of his disobedience, man falls, experiencing the loss of dominion. That's what this was all about. God had given man dominion in the garden, and now dominion had been relinquished, and the enemy had taken over the authority. Everything of this delegated realm that God gave came under the curse, as his relationship with God, which was the fountainhead of this power to rule, is severed. It's severed. Genesis chapter 3, 17 to 8 mentions that. Genesis chapter 3, verses number 17 speaks about that. Let's just read verse 17 and verse 18. And then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and you've eaten from this tree about which I commanded you, you shall never eat of it again. Cursed is the ground on the account of you. In hard labor you will eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles. And it goes on and explains what this new curse is going to entail through the disobedience. So through this disobedience to God, submission to Satan, man's rule had been forfeited to the serpent. Satan, the enemy, has now become the new administrator of this now cursed realm. This realm was cursed. Now, the whole curse took place. We understand how it happened. But the ramification of this, for those of you that want to understand where sickness comes from, comes into play right now in the next few scriptures I'm going to read to you. So come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4. Very interesting scripture I found in my research. It goes on to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, we'll start with verse 3. But if this gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God, small g, the God of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So what happened, man was had his authority usurped, and Satan now took over that dominion. Not authority, but dominion. He now became, according to that scripture which we've just read in verse number 4, he became the gospel, the God of this world, small g. Now, Jesus confirms that. He says that in other scriptures which we read from the Bible in John chapter 12, verse 31. Let's quickly go to John chapter 12, verse 31, and see what Jesus says about this usurping of the authority. And once we see that the enemy now has been given all authority, we begin to understand how sickness came in. So let's go to the scripture, John chapter 12, verse number 31. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus said to them in John chapter 12, verse 31, now this is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this age be cast out. The who? The prince of this age. Jesus recognized that the enemy had this authority on the earth. This was before the cross, remember? This is pre-Christian times. This is Old Testament times. The enemy had this authority. We find that in Luke chapter 4, when the enemy came to Jesus to tempt him, he said to him, I'll give you all these kingdoms. So whose was it to give? Jesus didn't challenge him and say, you don't have the authority to even test me with these kingdoms. Oh, yes, he did. Jesus never challenged him. Jesus just said, it is written, and then rebuked him with the word. So pre-redemption times, an interesting thing, which is a very difficult thing to actually come to terms with. How's it possible that the devil became the God, G-O-D, small God of this world, and the prince of the powers and the principalities? Well, that's exactly what happened at the Garden of Eden. Satan becomes our adversary, and his fallen angels with his demons, they now harass mankind. Satan's greatest tool became sin, sickness, and disease. How interesting. Everything that he stole from man, which was peace, calm in the garden, health, everything we're having, going to have in heaven, there'll be what? There'll be no weeping and wailing. There'll be no sickness. There'll be no disease. So that's the first thing he goes for. He attempts now to put that on man in order to separate us from God. And if he can get us to blame God, then he's won the battle. If we can turn around and say, well, you know, it's God who wants me to persevere through this time. It's God that wants me to be tested like this. Sorry, that's not New Testament at all. I don't see that in the New Testament. Do you ever see Jesus telling somebody that comes to him for prayer, well, you know, just keep the sickness a little while longer because my Father is about to try and teach you something? Not at all. Never see it. Never hear about it. The Bible says he healed them all. Every person got healed under the ministry of Jesus, New Covenant. So let's just recognize now some scriptures regarding the enemy. Firstly, sickness is called a spirit of infirmity. Luke chapter 13, verse 12. Read it up. It's called a spirit of infirmity. Luke chapter 13, verse 16. Sickness is called a bondage. It's the spirit of a bondage. Gosh, a bondage is not such a nice thing to have, is it? How many of you, when you're feeling sick, you feel like, oh, I'm in bondage. I just can't believe. I wish I could just get over this feeling of tragedy and this feeling of fear, and I don't quite know what's going to happen, and I can't understand the medical reports. And then you go from one doctor to the next doctor, from this medical report to that medical report. It's almost like a whole big oppression is building up. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Sickness is called an oppression. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. This is the most amazing one. The scripture talks about sickness as being a stronghold. And so eventually that stronghold gets built up in us by the works of the enemy, the demons that are upon the earth. Most of the time that Jesus healed people, he did what? He cast out the devil. He cast out the spirit of infirmity. He told them, your bondage has been released from you. The woman with an issue of blood, with the bondage, he called it a bondage. She's been released from that bondage. The enemy comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. John chapter 10, verse number 10. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15 onwards, we see the list of the biblical sicknesses that are called a curse. These curses are inflicted by the enemy on those whom he has access to. We've got to give him access. When we agree with him, yes, I'm sick. The doctor says I'm sick. Begin to start to confess that I'm sick. This is what this one says. This is what that one says. This is what this report says. That's what this report says. What we're doing exactly like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. We're handing over that authority which we have in God's word that says we are healed, and we're giving the enemy access to our body. His chief desire and design is to destroy human life, therefore to bring sorrow to the heart of God. If he hurts us, he hurts God. Amen. And he wants to hurt God. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 9, the enemy is called the wicked one. Amazing. The wicked one. That's what he is. You know, he's the wicked one. I mean, honestly, that's just like an amazing reference there. It's a great revelation. He's not just the enemy whom we don't want to talk about. No, he's the wicked one. Let's call him what he is. In verse chapter number 39 of that same scripture, Matthew 13, he's called the enemy. He's called the devil. He's called our enemy. He's called our enemy. He's called the devil. The word devil means accuser. He's the defamer or slanderer. That's interesting, hey? The defamer, the accuser, and the slanderer. In Matthew 12, 24, he's called the prince of devils. In 2 Corinthians 11, 3, he's the devil, the one who corrupts the minds of people. How many people today do you know or I know that are living under mental disease, mental strain, mental disorder, all sorts of depressions and oppressions? These things can be healed. These things are a curse, and that's what we need to call them. We need to call them what they are. They come from the enemy. They are not from God. This is not God trying to purify or purge us. This is the enemy trying to take us out. In Mark chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, tells us that many people that were sick with various diseases were brought to Jesus, who laid his hands on them and he healed them. Devils came out of them. The devils are referred to as unclean spirits. I think today in the yoke world that we're living in and the world of almost religious correctness, people don't like to call things unclean. So we're going to call it like it is. We're going to call it what the Bible calls it, because we are Bible-believing people, And if you don't call it what it is, it's never going to come out. You can't look at a spirit of infirmity that has bound you for so many years, like a cancerous tumor, and say, you yoke thing, come out. It's not going to obey you. You can't look at that thing and say, I'm going to be religiously correct in my terminology, and I'm going to call this thing just this whatever it is. No, it is what it is. It's a spirit of infirmity. It's a tumor. It's a cancerous growth. It's a diabetes. It's something the enemy has placed on you, which needs to be cast out in the name of Jesus. In the beginning, creation was created well, strong, healthy, happy. People were in fellowship with God. Adam and Eve were in fellowship. That was God's plan. Satan, the deceiver, caused Adam and Eve to disobey God, doubt his word. They sinned against God. And because of that sin, they became slaves to Satan, to the enemy, until Christ came and redeemed mankind. After the fall, disease, pain, and sickness began destroying the health of God's creation. How sad. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, we wrestle not against what? Powers and principalities and rulers of the darkness. Sorry, we wrestle against these. The darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Interesting terminology the Bible uses. I think it's time to get back to the reality of what the Bible has to say about what the enemy has done and the plans that he has used to stop the growth of the church, to destroy the lives of God's people. I think it's about time that we got back to seeing him for what he is, who he really is. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's the deceiver. He's the enemy of whatever is good. The Bible calls him darkness. The Bible calls him Beelzebub. The Bible calls him Lord of the Flies. What an interesting name. It's time that we began as a church to raise up a standard against him. One standard that works and only works as the Bible standard. It's the way in which we deal with sickness. We can't just put a little wrapping over it. You can't put a perfume on a pig and say it's not a pig. It's still a pig. No matter how it smells, it's still a pig. Do you understand what I'm saying? The enemy is not going to soft pedal on this platform that he has right now. And I'm going to refer very briefly to the pandemic. This pandemic, no matter where it comes from, no matter the origins of it, it's originated in hell. It's a plan and a plot of the enemy to rob and to steal and kill God's people. It's a plot and a plan to close down the church. It's done very well over the last 2 years and wants to continue. So we need to get on top of this, starting with ourselves. What is it that I need to do? What can I do? Today you can't get an appointment with a doctor. Today you can't get any surgery that you might need. So isn't it time now to look to God? Isn't it time to look and say, you know what, God, if they're not going to take me into the procedures that we have, the healthcare systems that we have are not going to look after us or care for us because we can't get in, then, God, what are you saying? Now, I'm going to deal with that in the next podcast. It's the origins of healing and health. In conclusion, I'd like to say that sickness is a curse. It's not a blessing. It's captivity, it's bondage, which Christ came to redeem us from. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, calls out how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth and how he went about doing good. Everybody say doing good and healing all, not just some, all who were oppressed of the enemy, oppressed by the enemy. So the good news is the next DVD, the next teaching I'm going to do, however platform you're using to get this message, understand one thing, that God loves you. God wants to heal you, but he also wants you to be wise about who it is that's putting sickness and disease upon you. You can't blame God and then expect him to heal you. You can't sit at home and say, you know what, and talk to your friends and talk to your family about how this has happened and you don't understand it. And God needs to do this and God needs to do that. And then you come to church on Sunday, stand in a healing line and expect that same God to bless you. No, that's double-minded. The Bible clearly says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It's time that we begin to realize that this is not a plague from heaven. Psalm 91. This is not a plague from heaven. This is a plague that comes from the gates of hell. And it's the enemy trying his best to destroy the faith we have in God. And so I leave that with you today. And I encourage you to have a look on our website and see where we're doing healing crusades in your area. We're busy starting next week on the Central Coast. We have a vision to raise up 300 healing ministers across Australia that will touch the nations. We believe it's time that God's church got raised up once again to see and to operate and to have a revelation in the Word of God, not a religious man-made structure that's never worked. Let me ask you this. When last did you see somebody healed? When last did you, in your meeting at church, have somebody pray for the sick? When last did you pray for the sick? And when last did you pray for God to heal you? These truths need to come out right now. So we're raising up 300 healing evangelists, training them here through Mike Rabellini Ministries, and we're going to, over the next year or two, start launching them out, firstly in Australia, firstly on the Central Coast where I live in Sydney, where we minister, then to the rest of Australia, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. It's no good standing and judging what's going on around the world. Well, you know, this church is not open and that church is not open and this one's closed. Now, that's judgment upon the church. Each nation has a different law regarding the COVID. So let's not judge what they're doing in other places, but let's rather look at ourselves and say, God, what can we do to change this negative state in which we find ourselves? So God bless you. I pray that you read these scriptures diligently, and that if you have any need in your body right now, I pray that the God who is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, will touch your body right now. I pray for every sickness to lift off of your body. I pray for every disease to lift off of your body. But more importantly, and also importantly, I pray that you get a revelation that this is not God who is attempting to teach you something. This is not God. God is a good God. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. And I look forward to seeing you one day at one of our miracle crusades. Amen.